Thousands of young people in Philadelphia are without stable housing. They're moving from one shelter to another. They're couch surfing or sleeping on the street as we enter the coldest months of the year. A majority of them are Black or Hispanic, and a third are pregnant or already parents.
The city is putting over $8 million towards the problem, but is it enough? Is this truly a solvable problem at all? Joining us now are WHYY reporter Kenny Cooper and Yvonne Latty, director of the Logan Center for Urban Investigative Reporting at Temple University. They are the hosts and producers of a new collaborative podcast, Young, Unhoused, and Unseen. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
And so, Yvonne, I want to start with you. The new podcast takes a look at this issue of youth homelessness. It's a big issue. I want you to lay out the problem for us and sort of explain why it is so pervasive.
Well, I mean, if you live in the city, you know that rents are up. Minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. There's so many young people that are in unstable homes. We have gun violence. We have a large LGBTQ population that doesn't always get the support that they need from their parents. There's just so many factors that lead to young people becoming homelessness. We're also the poorest big city in America. It's just issue after issue piled on issue that's really affecting young people.
Kenny, what drew you into this topic? Why shine a light here? Why now?
I think the why now part is what you kind of mentioned earlier about that HUD funding. You know, the city received $8.8 million, which is the first and largest grant that Philadelphia has received of its kind to address this issue. And, you know, of course, the city can obviously receive another round, but then receiving another round is kind of dependent on the success of Philadelphia's new programs and initiatives and bolstering of services that it's going to do over the next 2 years.
So it's like a little trial run from the federal government.
Essentially, you know, they want to see proof of concept. They want to see that what Philadelphia is going to do or is already doing is working.
And so I want to sort of peel back the layers here because people think they know what homelessness looks like. They go on the streets, they see people outside. It can be kind of in your face in Philadelphia. But when it comes to young people, it's a little bit different. And I want you to sort of explain what it looks like when we're talking about youth and then define what youth means.
So I think the way that it looks is just it's a lot more invisible. You know, that's part of the reason why we named the podcast, you know, Young, Unhoused, and Unseen. That unseen aspect of it is just the fact that people don't always view young people on their normal day-to-day basis that are unhoused, or at least they don't think they are unhoused. So in some situations, they may be couch surfing, they may be living at a friend's house. And in all these situations, even the children or young adults themselves may not even consider themselves homeless. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, if you don't have a steady place to lay your head at night, a steady place to say, you know, this is my home, you know, then that's what you're facing.
And Yvonne, it's not just unseen, right? It's often uncounted. Do we have a real sense of how many young people are unhoused in Philadelphia?
No, we don't, because the way they're counted is, you know, the coldest day of the year, people go out and count people on the street. And that's really not the way youth homelessness looks like in Philadelphia. I mean, it is like Kenny said, people couch surfing, staying one friend to another. A lot of time kids that don't have any place to live are in group homes, are in shelters. They're, you know, might spend a week in the street, then find themselves in a shelter. And then, you know, there's so many that are in foster care. I mean, the thing about the podcast is just so powerful is that we really get to hear from them and they tell us their stories. And it is pretty, pretty intense and it's very complex. And so it is a problem that I do believe is solvable because of the numbers, but it's going to take
a
lot
of
effort.
Can you elaborate on that?
I mean, the numbers that the city's giving out is, you know, like 1,500. You know, they have the money now from HUD. They have organizations that are like focused on this. But so many of these kids fall through the cracks, and it's really up to all of us to really look at the young people in our lives and see if they need support and stop wearing blinders because someone's coming to school or coming to work clean and with sneakers on that look nice and don't look like what we think homeless people look like. It doesn't mean that they don't need help. And if we don't help these young people, then they're going to grow into adult homeless people.
And so let's dig into the young people. I know you spoke to some of the young folks. We have a clip from Michelle Neal. Before we play it, I want you to tell us a little bit about Michelle.
So Michelle was or is still currently facing, you know, some housing instability, but she's also the lead co-author of the city's, you know, grant proposal or report to help kind of create this roadmap for the city out of its youth homelessness crisis. And, you know, she had a very powerful story to share with us. She wrote the poem that, you know, kind of leads into the report, but she also shared with us, you know, some really, really relevant thoughts about the situation.
Yeah, and here she is talking about some of the misconceptions that people have about people in her situation.
That you wanted this or that you did something to deserve being homeless. Well, you don't want to work or anything. That's why you're homeless, or you must have not managed your money properly. That's why you lost your house. Or, you know, you must have messed with the wrong people. That's why you got kicked out, or you need to do better. You need to have better decision-making skills. And that's not always the truth.
And so what is the truth, Yvonne, I mean, in Michelle's case?
Well, the truth is that a lot of the young people that are homeless face families that are filled with abuse. In the case of Michelle, you know, it was a lot of sexual abuse, a lot of physical abuse. It's not a choice. It's something that happens to them, that they're forced into. We've talked to young people whose parents are addicted. But abuse and lack of love, honestly, seems to be a really big driver of homelessness.
And I want to follow up with that, because what struck you, Kenny? I mean, you're fairly young. What struck you about talking to these young people? Because you start the podcast by saying this is a solvable problem. So what struck you when you spoke
I think
to them?
What struck me when I speak to a lot of the young people in these stories is that a lot of them are about the same age as me. You know, mm-hmm. I'm only 25. Michelle, in this case, is actually older than me. You know, and, you know, it kind of makes me evaluate the people in my own lives. You know, do they have enough structure and supports? You know, some of my friends growing up, you know, thinking back, did they have the right, you know, care and structure and stable housing, you know, when they were moving and bouncing from place to place? You know, it makes you really think back on all the people that you kind of come across in your own life to mm-hmm. say, you know, they were probably touched by this issue.
Hmm. Yvonne, we've mentioned several times that it is hard often to identify whether or not a young person is facing housing instability. So what are the strategies for reaching this group? Because you can have the services, but you have to connect them with those services in order to be effective. So how do you go about making those connections?
Well, I think a lot of it is their caseworker. And, you know, I'm a professor at Temple. I've been a professor for a while. A lot of it is the colleges. There's mm-hmm. so much support that we can offer. I mean, I've had students come up to me and say, I don't have enough to eat. You know, it's when these bells go off, not just saying, oh, well, I'm sorry, so you can be late on that mm-hmm. assignment, but like digging deeper into it. A lot of it can be done in the schools, elementary school, high school, like paying attention, neighbors. Like, I think we need to pay more attention to what's going on around us and be more proactive. The city does have a lot in place to help them. Schools have a lot in place to help them, but we have to make sure that they're getting those services.
And I want to talk about the podcast. Listen to the first episode. The big focus is this grant money that you talked about, Kenny, and just how it's a big opportunity. Why start the podcast there?
Because, you know, I think that's where, you know, that's where this story kind of begins. You know, if the city is truly to kind of solve this problem, it needs money, it needs resources, it needs funding. And that $8.8 million is kind of, you know, that is part of the solution. And I say part because, you know, as we kind of take this journey throughout the rest of the podcast episodes, you see the people that may slip through the crack, that may not be receiving this money, that may not, you know, receive the money out of choice or because, you know, their situation may be different. And ultimately, we end the podcast with an episode on the suburbs. And obviously, the suburbs of Philadelphia aren't a part of the grant. But, you know, that's an issue, again, where a lot of people don't necessarily know that, you know, there is a homelessness crisis in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And it's touching the youth as well. And, you know, a lot of people may picture the suburbs, the mainline area, as kind of this this, you know, huge abundance of wealth. And while that may be true in some cases, that's not unique. I mean, that's not uniform. You know, that's not true for everyone. And because of that, you know, kind of conception, misconception, if you will, about the suburbs, it leads to this lack of acknowledgement of the problem. So we kind of end back up at square one, where you have some municipalities, township level, borough level, who don't necessarily have not come to that point yet where they're just like, you know what, this is a crisis that we need to address.
So it's sort of unseen on the individual level, but then also on the bureaucratic level.
Yes.
There's a sense of unseeing it as well. Fascinating. Kenny Cooper, suburban reporter for WHYY. Yvonne Laddie, director of Temple's Logan Center for Urban Investigative Reporting. Thanks to you both for joining us today on Studio 2, and congratulations on the launch of the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just a reminder, the podcast is called Young, Unhoused, and Unseen. It's a production of WHYY News and Temple University's Klein College Logan Center for Urban Investigative Reporting. You can download it right now, Cherry.
Yes.
Wherever you get your pods.